1240 AM WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty, Buick GMC Volkswagen of Oak Lawn, and Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney at law. My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host. Bill and Clay, who are typically joining me, are not with us tonight as I'm pre-recording this. This is our annual Thanksgiving compilation best of show. These segments are handpicked by our producer, Radio Mike. Mike Sarkowski does a wonderful job with these, and he's picked two for us this year. So obviously, everyone will remember when Clay, earlier this season, trolled Johnny Brennan of the Jerky Boys via Instagram and was able to convince Johnny to come on our program and tell his story. And it was riveting. We also fanboy out quite a bit in this segment. And the other segment that has been handpicked is I had a very painful moment this year. I lost somebody that's been with me my whole life. My bicuspid left molar tooth, Jeff, that was unfortunately removed from my cranium earlier this year. And we dedicated an entire episode to my dead tooth, Jeff, almost. We will listen to the saga of my dead tooth, Jeff, after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call them today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
Yes. I had something awful.
Yeah, you came in one pearl short of a necklace.
I've lost a tooth. Okay? I've lost.
You didn't lose it.
A tooth died in my head, and they pulled it out of my head.
And whose fault is that?
See? You sound like the dentist now. And whose fault is that? If you had flossed the tooth, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in now.
You should get a water pick.
Uh-huh.
That's what everybody says. Oh, yeah, water picks are going to save
there,
the day.
Yeah, hose down your teeth for an hour every night.
Hose down your teeth every night.
Get all the crap
Honey,
out of
Honey, I got to go hose down the teeth.
I got to get this crud out of my teeth.
I wouldn't have been missing this tooth had I hosed my teeth down every night.
It feels
my
good.
Dad had a water pick when we were growing up.
Yeah, I can't see the accuracy there.
I don't know.
Who cares about water picks? I lost a tooth.
Hold on.
Okay? A second premolar bicuspid on the left-hand side upper.
Oh, a bicusp?
I've had it. I've been trying to save this tooth for years. It's been problems.
Uh-huh.
At first,
did you name this tooth?
Maybe we should name it posthumously.
Yeah, let's name
it. Yeah, it's gone. I buried that tooth.
Let's name it Jeff.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm pretty heartbroken about you.
You big guy?
About your departure. Okay?
Yeah.
It's really putting a crank in the company.
So what did they do? They took a pliers and just whacked it out?
Well, that's how I went. This tooth, obviously, this Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay? It's been giving me hell for about 2 years.
All right.
And what first happened was the tooth just cracked, right?
Right.
A healthy tooth.
Yeah,
I was sitting at home and I was like, "Oh, what?"
But were you eating?
Like a Dorito or something, you know? I don't remember.
That ruins the whole experience.
Like, no, it was probably like a pistachio. It was something hard. It's always a nut or a piece of candy.
You take the shell off.
And I went in, and I had been a grinder for years.
There you
bruxism
go.
Is what they call it. So you get little cracks in your teeth from grinding your teeth, and then eventually one of your teeth decides to, you know,
it just cracks,
break
off.
A leg on
right,
you,
right,
you know, and
right.
you go, "Oh,
oh boy,"
and. That happened to Jeff early in his childhood. All right.
Yeah, so Jeff had problems.
Jeff was in his mid-20s when he broke his first bone with me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I had him fixed.
Uh-huh.
And then he broke again.
Uh-huh.
And now he's dead.
I had him fixed. And then he really broke again. And I got a poor buildup waiting for a crown.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you following me?
Uh-huh.
It kind of...
Then my core buildup over the weekend died, okay?
Sure.
All of a sudden, there was an infection in my... This is the worst toothache I have ever had. Ever.
Yeah.
All right? Mm-hmm. I was in agony. Yeah. Absolute agony. Jeff was really mad.
Was being a son of a bitch.
All right?
He was like pounding Advils to try to kill it?
Yes. I was pounding ibuprofen and...
Eating candy canes.
Drinking whiskey.
No. Like, you know, trying to do some acupuncture things in between my hand, you know, massaging my hand.
Cutting your hand with a knife?
No. And none of that. And, you know, I put in some of that numbing
gel.
Stuff, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
I was the guy at Walgreens going, where's the dental pain relief stuff?
My mouth is bugging me.
That's when you're like, why am I in, I'm in the dental pain relief aisle a little too much. Uh-huh.
What's your name, darling? My molars all messed up. Where's the numb gel?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where's the numb gel? My tooth hurt.
My tooth hurt.
And there's no sale on whiskey.
But this is the beginning of a Willie Nelson song. My tooth hurts and there's no sale on whiskey.
There's no sale on whiskey.
Here's the Orajel.
Anyway.
Where's the Orajel?
Okay, yes.
In a weird way, though.
So Jeff went nuts, okay?
Yeah.
My second premolar bicuspid on the left-hand side.
Yeah, no one knows what that means. Upper back,
it's upper, and it's noticeable that I smile. I went in, Jeff
kinda
was...
you kind of look like a horse a little.
Well, you dip your... You see, when you do that laugh, you're dipping your lower bottom lip
into the
gap. To make it look more horsey.
Yeah.
I certainly have for a comedic element, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You're accentuating
You get a missing tooth, all of a sudden you're like, I guess this is going to have to be part of my act now, you know?
It's who you are.
How do I incorporate this into the bit?
I've had a lot of...
Because this is going to be like this for about 7 months.
Uh-huh.
So... You best be getting a personality, and you best be getting a sense of humor about your tooth.
You better grow your face around that missing tooth. It becomes a part of you. You'll get used to it.
That's what the Southern dentist says, too. After he goes, you're going to have to grow your face into this missing tooth. Clutch my hand while she pulls. You're going to feel pressure, and then if you feel pain, clutch my hand.
Annie Rose, get the pliers out of my truck.
Anyway, I call MUDS. I have to go to MUDS again. Yeah. Okay. Midwest University
Dental School.
Dental
specialist.
Yes.
Okay.
Would they give you a sophomore?
No, they gave me a they gave you a
wisecracking sophomore?
No, they gave you a real doctor and a couple of students. You know. But there's, you know, last year of
med school.
Dental school.
With bed head, they don't really want to be there.
No, the guy was like, let's take a look. What happened?
Oh,
you know?
Oh, boy.
Is it the tooth that we think it is? You know,
is this Jeff again?
Yeah, right? They're like, is Jeff back? Yeah. Jeff has returned. You know? It's causing me quite a bit of pain in my head. You know?
All right, so what did they do to you?
He said, well, let's see if we can save Jeff. You know, we always want to do our best to try to save a tooth. Let's see what's going on. I was like praying to God, please just let them. It's got to just be that the core buildup broke. Just bond a new one back on there.
Never.
Give me a shot and some antibiotics and I'll come back and get the crown.
It's not going to happen.
And the guy looked at it and he went, oof.
This has got to come out ASAP. Yeah. This is cold blue.
Exactly. And then I was like, he said that to me and I was like, come on, man. We're not pulling this thing today, dude. He was like, we're probably going to have to remove this tooth, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like...
Immediately.
I was like...
You would call me the day before.
I was like,
this can't be. But you're like, I think this is it. I think it's probably going to have to go out. And I was like, but I could see you at the... Like, driving you crazy in your mind, even though you're in pain, just thinking about, like, how am I going to look with this thing if they pull it out? And then thinking to the guy, like, there aren't any other medical practices that you guys have ever done before on we can try on this tooth.
Can't
we
just
can
trim it?
Can you, like, stick something in my gum to make it numb for, like, the next 8 months while I develop a kitty full of money to figure out
what
to do?
8 months? How about 8 years?
Yeah, could you just hit me in the face with a hammer? I'll
all
be
right,
out
so
of your
the
way.
Guy,
can we just mummify this sucker for a little while under a couple $100?
So they they started the process.
The guy at MUDS is like, bye bye.
Yeah, the guy at MUDS is like, open up, let's take a look at you know what the situation is.
And he look at it right away and go,
he goes, yeah, I see it.
What
goes,
were the students doing at this point? Taking notes?
They were looking. They're the ones who do the first examination, and then they're like, all right. Bring
dead
the doctor.
Tooth. What do you think, Ash?
So they bring over the dentist and there's several dentists working with a bunch of group of students.
This place sounds fascinating.
I'm going.
So the guy comes over and he goes, "What happened?" And he goes, "Oh, hey, how are you? I remember seeing you here before."
Yeah.
He goes, "Same tooth again." I go, "Yeah." they're used to this. This is triage dentistry, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
And they're like, I go, yeah. And, you know, the guy's like,
time to come out.
Yeah. Time to lay Jeff.
This
to
is
bed.
Jeremy. This is Jeremy. He's a sophomore. He's going to numb you up.
Yeah. We're going to remove
what
Jeff.
Did Jeff
from
look
your head?
Like,
no.
What did Jeff look like when they pulled him out?
He was like a jagged rock. He was mangled, dude.
He's like a rock you find on the street.
He was like a peanut shell with just like a root.
It's the most disgusting thing. Anybody has asked me all week.
Wow.
What did it look like? Yes.
Well, why wouldn't you?
What's wrong with this guy? I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard. Well, what sure, did it look like?
I'm sure it was very.
He probably had a.
If it was pretty, they wouldn't have pulled it out of my head.
That's correct.
You probably had a seminar at that school. And they just put that thing on display.
Jeff is in the front lobby of MUDS.
They brought in professors from Sweden to look at it. Talk about
they
it.
They asked me. They did ask me, Bill.
This is one of the most disturbing cases of rot tooth we've ever seen.
Jeff.
Even at the University of Stendon.
Patty's second premolar bicuspid, Jeff.
Jeff, okay. The mangled tooth.
They did ask you what? Would you like to
after
take a look
at it? After they
yanked
it out of my... At first I was like...
Patty's sitting here with a face covered in tears.
He's laughing.
Like his
sorry.
Cat just died.
Yeah. Okay, yes. They asked you...
Because there's you know, comedy and pain, man. I'm like, this is pain for me, dude. This hurts. Like, it hurts my ego. Like, this was a big kick, you know? I was like... What do you mean? You know? The first time they said it. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, we're gonna need to do an extraction.
You gotta pull
today.
This peanut out of your head. I went, USOB.
I went, they gave me other options too. You know?
Which were
the doctor came in, he was
cork
like
cork it.
They actually did give me the cork it option. Like there was
put a diamond in there.
Well, the guy said, he goes, some people aren't always mentally prepared, you know, that they're going to lose this tooth eventually. He goes, but it's done, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's not enough left of it
to work around.
To work around on the bone because you had chipped it away so bad.
Oh, right. Jeez.
It's a broken tooth.
Right, right.
Just get it
it's
out.
It's a broken tooth.
Yeah. It's a broken tooth. Did any Irish people help you
no.
make this decision?
No. They said, tough it out, mate. Tough it out.
Tough it out, lad. It's a broken tooth.
The pain will go away. You're going to lose a tooth? Let the tooth rot out on its own.
Aesthetically. You still got your health.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Well, yeah, the Yankees.
First of all, I'd like to dedicate this episode to Jeff.
Jeff
the mangled tooth.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff, I got to see him. I did get to see him on his way out. The guy, after he pulled it out of my head. You know, pressure. And I was like, ugh.
Oh man, it's horrible.
You know, I'm like, oh god.
I had like five pulled at once. It
wasn't as painful as I thought it would be. You know,
yeah.
But it was not pleasant.
When I was like 12,
They're like rocking it. You know,
it's horrible.
Oh,
my dentist had his knee on my chest at one point.
Oh, wow.
I was like 12. I had teeth coming out of my gums. I mean, I had like 60 teeth.
Jeez.
On the uppers only.
Anyway.
And they started yanking them left and right. It's rough.
Yeah.
God bless you. You're going to be all right. You know, do some
push-ups. Now I have this big gap in my tooth.
You can't smoke. It's bad for it.
I haven't had a cigarette in three days.
Nicotine makes it weird.
That's good.
I haven't had, like, it's a good thing. Like something I need to use this experience to cure something bad about myself now. You know?
Right.
Oh, you don't want to get a dry socket? Don't smoke for 4 days. How about never smoking again? Use this opportunity to not smoke again. You won't be losing any more teeth.
You know what
eventually.
You should do? This would feel
losing teeth. I have beautiful teeth, listeners. Let me explain this. Aesthetically, I have really nice teeth.
Yeah, so this is a shock.
To lose a tooth was like, what?
It's like losing a finger.
It's very noticeable. It is like losing a finger because it's very visible. You know, it's like, ooh.
Well, it's something you've had. You looked at it every day your whole life.
You know,
you and Jeff had a band,
but people are very judgmental. You know,
well, what's worse?
What do you
know? You let something like this go for long enough, and you become that guy. Like, how are you? You know, people are like, You know,
you become
they look at you a little differently.
You become Mrs. Rudy.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Mrs. Rudy, one of our teachers growing up, would not very nice trappers.
I'm just saying, or Narcissus even.
Sure.
What's worse? Balding or Jeff leaving your life?
Well, you got both going on.
I want yeah. I'll tell you what. I kind of want Jeff back.
Yeah. Well, listen. You know how much
actually,
worse.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe balding because you can get you can get hair implants too.
It's one or the other,
but
sir.
But teeth implants are much nicer than hair implants.
You don't know how good you got it. What if it was both of your front teeth?
Right. Yeah.
You know? Come on. Then you'd be a real Daryl.
You're like Leon Spinks walking around with no front teeth.
Except you didn't fight anybody.
Exactly.
You just eat candy canes too much when you're little.
Yeah. I would do everything in my power to get those teeth back. I mean, there would be a GoFundMe going down.
Why don't you start a GoFundMe for Jeff?
Yeah, save Jeff.
Save Jeff.
Yep.
My premolar bicuspid.
Yeah, put that in parentheses. My premolar bicuspid.
Save Jeff.
You might raise $100,000.
Hibernian Transmedia for our birthdays did, however, put a birthday fundraiser out.
Yeah.
I did for the Hoolies Hooli.
I saw that.
I could give a shout out to Scott Elza.
Thanks, Scotty.
God bless.
Give a shout out to Nello Ferrara.
Thanks, Nello.
For our fitness factory. Check that out. Said that I'd give them a shout out. They're in Forest Park. Great spot if you're looking to get in shape.
Place yep. is awesome.
It is pretty awesome. And then a slew of others that I'll list off as the show proceeds.
I think I saw Mike Raspatello.
Mike, yes, he did.
Thank you, Mike. Our old friend. And the
haven't seen him in about
the boss at the blog called October, which was all about craft beer, if you want to check that out.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
Pat.
Well, I'm sorry, man. You know,
you're gonna be all right.
It's hard to lose it's your birthday and then like it's just ripped away from you. Like
you're
that.
Too. Yeah. Well, Jeff left me. He was like, "This is Jeff's our last birthday
made
weekend."
Made it to 39,
buddy.
And then I'm out.
Right.
He's gone. That's it. It's like Goodfellas when they killed Tommy. And that's that. Move on.
Yeah.
Story of my bicuspid, Jeff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should run up a hill, stand on it, and take a deep breath.
Well, anyway, okay.
You could take a flight. You know, you could call one of our cousins and see if they could help you out up in Buffalo, New York.
We could.
That's always been
my other thought. Is like,
you got dentists in your family.
I have dentists in the family.
To get a gold tooth.
If he'll do it on the side for me for cost, you know. Be like, hey, cuz, I'm in a spot here.
You should drive there.
I need
film the entire experience.
My cousin, the year my cousins gave me new teeth.
The year Jeff came back.
My cousins fixed my teeth.
When Jeff returned.
The return of Jeff.
Try and get Glenn Close to take the ride with you.
Really?
Glenn Close is starring in the movie The Return of Jeff.
She plays Jeff.
She's the voice of Jeff.
I don't want to leave Patty's mouth.
Is this an animated children's feature all of a sudden?
Could be.
Patty's Tooth Jeff? Actually, that works better for four-year-olds. They understand Jeff.
My dead tooth Jeff.
My dead tooth Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you have a Jeff go...
Yeah.
It's a domino.
You got to step up your
game. You got to go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
It's an emergency.
It is a big time emergency. And
you got to get after it.
And a wake up call, and I'm like, oh man.
I
got to get a new tooth.
I try not to let dental problems linger for more than like 2 weeks.
I was shocked by the loss of Jeff. Okay?
It's horrible.
Shocked. I didn't think it that happens. He'd be leaving me on that day.
You were shot through the heart.
Shot through the heart. And Jeff's too late. You should have brushed your teeth yesterday. You know?
Should have brushed your teeth yesterday.
After they removed Jeff, they threw him in a biohazard bag.
They threw him in a Wendy's cup.
They threw it in a Wendy's cup.
Somebody take this out. This is disgusting.
It's in the back of a dumpster in Rosemont. Thanks.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too.
As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913. There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call them today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Johnny Brennan. of the Jerky Boys is on our show tonight.
What's going on, guys?
How are you doing, buddy?
Thanks for doing the program, Johnny. We have thousands of questions for you. First off, we want to know what's new in your life. What are you working on? I understand that you're hitting the comedy circuit again, going out on the road, doing a lot of promoting of a new Jerky Boys release. The Rolling Stone wrote a nice piece back in March, a little editorial about what you got cooking and shaking and where you've been in the last 25 years. What's up?
Yeah, man. Rolling Stone has actually been along the way, man, for decades. And they wanted to actually be the one to break the story that this is the first traditional style Jerky Boys record I'll be doing. It's over 25 years now.
Wow.
So Rolling Stone wanted to be the ones to break that. And it's with a record company, one of the, they handle the biggest, you know, Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I mean, you can name it.
The biggest, yeah, it's Comedy Dynamic.
All right.
So that's who I'm with. And I never thought I'd actually go back with another record label after, you know, many, many years of, but it was actually just perfect timing. And the fans are just, let me tell you something, it's crazy. It's literally 10 times the size it was now than when I first hit the scene. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It, with social media now, like you were just saying, there's kids 5, 6, 8 year olds, 13 year olds, and right up to freaking 80 year old people that are huge diehard fans of the Jerky Boys.
It's great.
So it's insane. You know what it is? Howard Stern, he said it best. He said, you know, everybody keeps trying to mimic or copy the Jerky Boys. It's never going to happen.
Never. Because,
you know, these Johnny created these characters that are all based on family members and friends. And
yeah.
I exaggerated them into cartoons.
That's what I want to get at. I want to get at that for a moment because I want to find out about where Johnny Brennan came from. I mean, what neighborhood did you grow up in, Queens? You got a lot of brothers and sisters. You come from an Irish Catholic background, right?
Yes, and you know, I'm the oldest of five children. I grew up a little bit in Astoria, Queens, and a little bit in Mastiff, Queens. But I was actually born and raised in New York City.
All right.
A couple of short stints out in Queens, New York, which was very cool, and molded and shaped a lot of my personality. My first trip out to Queens was Astoria, 69 through, I believe, 77.
Okay.
And great stuff. I mean, I lived in neighborhoods where you're talking about. It's Irish, it's Greek, it's Spanish. And I was just, you know, I remember being a kid just soaking that stuff up.
Yeah.
I think that's what resonates with your characters, John, is that people were like, this is a melting pot of different guys, and they're all pissed off.
It's real life, though. I remember the first time I heard it. This is Clay speaking, by the way. And, it was like nothing I had ever heard. It's like hearing the Beastie Boys for the first time. You're like, what is this? Like, this is amazing. I need more of this. And then it just took off from there. And before you know it, I mean, when did you know that, like, this was out of control, huge?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was hanging off buildings for a living. That's, I'm sure you guys heard my scaffold skit, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, people ask me all the time, they said, how the hell do you know so much about so much? I incorporated into all of my tracks and whatnot through all my characters.
Yep.
And I would tell people point blank, I say, you know, geez, when I think about it, that's because I race cars, and we work on race cars. I've been a painter. I literally hung off buildings 50, 60 stories in Manhattan.
Wow.
I mean, I did all kinds of different things in my life. So I incorporate a lot of that stuff into the work. And so I was at a family reunion, to answer your question. I think it was like 84, 85, something like that.
Yeah.
And all my cousins are coming up to me. Now, these are college guys and gals. And this is a big reunion. The Brennans, you know, actually, funny enough, Stephen Grillo from the Howard Stern Show.
Yeah.
He has a house right up the road from where my aunt has the reunion.
Okay.
Steve Grillo always says, geez, man, what the F is going on at that place? You've got hundreds of people over there. and they do it every year. So this is back in 85. And my cousin came up to me and they're like, Johnny, man, you're all over the radio. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The stuff that you did to your brothers, you know, Joey and Anthony and everything. He said, you know, Howard Stern's playing it. Mark Parento up in Boston. Yet they're playing it down in Florida. And I'm like, what are you? I still was baffled. I'm like, what are you even talking about?
Wow.
You know, the stuff you did, the Frank Rizzo and all the other characters you did. I was like, oh.
So how did it get leaked? Like, what'd you do? You guys sat down and you were like, let's do some bits. We're bored. Let's mess with people for a little while. But you knew what you were doing. I mean, you had to have been a big comedy fan as a kid, admired a lot of comedians. This was, you know, theater of the mind kind of stuff that you were coming up with. These are bits, man. And a lot of it's on the fly and improv.
So to see, remember you said to me, how did I know it was big? So that at my family reunion, I was like, wow, this is kind of crazy. And then I heard Howard Stern on the radio in the mid 80s, 85 or something like that, or yep. whatever the hell it was. And he's asking if anybody knows who this guy is. He says, you got to call into the show. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And to this day, Howard Stern still plays it on his show every day.
Yeah.
And isn't that incredible? And so the legs, Seth MacFarlane, a Family Guy, he said, Johnny, I'm telling you, he says, it's the greatest comedy to this day I've ever heard. He says, I'm on my way to the studio. I'm in my car, and I'm literally pissing myself.
Yeah.
And he goes, the guy next to me is looking at me like I got something wrong with me. he says, Johnny, I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing. It's still the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And his key words, he goes, it's effing timeless.
It's timeless. It totally is. And I mentioned how I dragged my wife to 30 East 60th Street when I was in New York, I think it was last summer. She's like, what the hell is this? She thought I was taking her to like a monument or something. I go, this is one of the most important addresses in the history of mankind. No, just get in the cab. We're going up there. Stop complaining.
That is so classic. But yeah, no. So it's been amazing. And like you said before, like when it hit, boy, man, a lot. Like you have to remember, I did a lot of my recording in the 70s, and
sure,
this stuff didn't start really getting legs until it hit the streets. And I always got to give, I give props to Kamal. You know, Kamal came over one night when I was doing this stuff. Kamal wasn't part of it yet.
Sure. Right.
And he came over one night and he heard the stuff I was doing just as a goof, to get my characters on tape. And I did this stuff back in the 60s when I was a kid, in the 60s and 70s. You know, I used to remember playing Don Crickey. I would do Don Crickey and Howard Cosell. And
yeah.
I would get all this. So anyway, long story short, Kamal, he came over one night when I was in Queens. This is when I was living in Middle Village out in Queens.
Yeah.
And this is now I'm older now. I'm in my early 20s or whatever it was. And Kamal is literally on the floor pissing himself laughing. And I thought, Kamal had a tendency sometimes to be a wise guy. I thought he was being sarcastic, like making fun.
Yeah.
And he's literally rolling on the floor. He gets up off the floor, and his eyes are full of water. He's tearing in the eyes. And he's like, John, this is the funniest. He says, you have no, this is insane. And then every night he would call me from his, every night he'd say, I got to come over. So he's a tremendous bass player, Kamal. Very, very talented bass player.
Yeah.
So he'd come over every night and I'd be like, Kamal, Jesus Christ, I got to get up for work, man. It's like 3 a.m.
Oh, he's like jamming at the apartment, goofing off every night with you?
No. He's like, it's 3 a.m, man. We got to make some calls. So Kamal would come over. We'd make some calls and then Kamal would take the tapes that I made, which I just played them for my brothers, right? So I really didn't think anything. I didn't think anything of it.
Right. That's so amazing.
Kamal played in all these bands around New York City, and he was, like I said, a tremendous bassist, and he knew like the who's who of musicians.
Oh, like guys playing at like CBGBs and clubs like that, and he was like passing the tape around.
And on the West Side, all these jazz dudes.
Yeah.
So Kamal would make copies and give these guys the tapes. The rest is history,
dude.
Man.
And that's the way I heard it. I have an older brother. He's 5 years older than me, and he had the cassette tape, and it was like the handwritten Jerky Boys on there.
It's the biggest bootleg in history.
It was like the Holy Grail holding it. I was like, I can't believe that this is actually in my hands right now. And it was like treated like that. It was such a special thing if it came around your way and you actually got a copy of it. Because you couldn't just go to the store and buy it. You had to get it like that. Yeah. In the early days.
But, I'm proud to say that even when the bull, you'd wear that thing out, but you'd still want it. When the CD came out, it was just in as much demand, I think, by the people that already had the bootleg.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
Right.
So, when it took the world by storm, so, the New York Times said it was the largest bootleg in history, even bigger than a Grateful Dead bootleg.
It's crazy.
So, which I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt.
No, me either.
And there's actually some statistics where it's like up around 20, 30 million people just copy and copy and copy and handing it, and then another 50,000 people.
Dude, I'm sure you got people in Japan doing Jack Torres impressions,
I just got word from the CEO of Alto Music that in China, because they were listening to my new stuff at RollingStone.com. One of the Rolling Stone actually released one of my brand new tracks that's going on the new record.
Yeah, I saw that.
First brand new track in like 26 years. And he said on the plane to China, everyone is already doing my brand new stuff.
That is the most bizarre sight I could ever imagine.
That is the best, test you could give it.
It's got to be. So how bizarre is it? You guys were thrust into the fame spotlight, and then boom, you got a movie out. You did Alan Arkin, Tom Jones, right. Vincent right. Pastore, Ozzy Osbourne. It's nuts.
So take a look at the actors that were in my movie. There's Academy Award winners in there. You had William Hickey, Alan Arkin, Suzanne Shepherd. She played the mother in Goodfellas. You have to realize that this is what gets back to what we were just talking about. The Jerky Boys took the world so much by storm with all these great characters and stuff that, came out of my family and whatnot, that it was such a tremendous success, selling millions and millions of records, that all of the actors we just mentioned, we didn't have to go looking for actors.
Right.
They literally called Walt Disney Pictures. They literally called Touchstone. They said, I want Alan Arkin, William Hickey, all these. We didn't have to even look for actors. Look, one of my favorite, Brad Sullivan. Brad Sullivan was in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was these are the biggest of the big, and they had to be in the Jerky Boys movie.
And it was awesome. I mean, it was great. And and so let's talk about the new record a little bit.
Sure.
When's it coming out?
My record companies probably want to kick me in the ass, but that's just the way it is. I said I was going to try to get out early in 2019, but you know what it is? It's like, I want it to be, I'm like a perfectionist, and I don't want, I want things, it's funny. It's not like it was 40 plus years ago.
Right.
Where I could literally sit down, look at the bylines, and I could say, all right, let me call this guy. Boom. Cool.
Yep.
I swear my right hand to God, if I did 29 calls and I was going to only put, let's say, 25 on the record, maybe I'd even put all 29, right?
Right.
That's it. I'm done. Bingo.
Yeah.
I sit down, I would do the calls, and I swear my right hand to God. People ask me this over all the years. I have nothing in the can. Let me tell you something. If I had stuff in the can, don't you think I'd have?
You'd have released it.
You know why? Because now I own the rights to everything.
Right.
So the Jerky Boys, the trademark, everything belongs to, Johnny Brennan.
Dude,
so,
you're the Rolling Stones, man.
Right, but you see what I'm saying? If I had stuff in the can, don't you think I'd be releasing it?
Right. Did you run into the problem where people are so familiar with who you are that, you call and they're like, oh, hey, yeah, we know you're trying to pull.
That started happening around Jerky Boys 3.
Okay.
All right.
And Jerky Boys 2 was fine. Jerky Boys 3 is where that started happening. And what happened was, I think maybe three times, I got somebody on the line. It was like, oh, my God, it's the Jerky Boys.
Did you turn that into a bit with her and just say, no, it's not?
No. As soon as that would happen, I'd be like, see ya.
Click.
Because now everything's just shot.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say?
I'll tell you this, John. I work in sales during the day, and they want to, going out making 300 cold calls a day. Nobody answers the phone anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So putting out a new album has to be an incredibly hard challenge first, because you're trying to get yourself psyched up into playing with somebody, and then hoping to God they're going to answer the phone.
Right.
Right.
What's genius with you is that you focused on businesses mostly, the auto mechanics and the tile joint and everything else.
Right. Well, when I came out with the first record, that was a bootleg. So I was just having some fun getting my characters on tape for my brothers so we could play it on the weekend. Like I said, I'm the oldest of all the kids. So,
right.
I do some wacky and everybody kind of dug it. And so anyway, we go up to the house, we play, the stuff, and we think nothing of it. My brothers, we're all, they grew up with me. I'm their older brother. And, we have a laugh and then we go about our business. But it meant something much more than that to the rest of the world.
Right.
And then the all the behind the scenes stuff, when I really did understand that this is an amazing thing. And that was when Jerky Boys won. I got a phone call at my house from the president of the record label. And he said, hey, Johnny, I just want to give you a little bit of news. Your record just went gold.
It's crazy.
And that was Jerky Boys 1, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my first feeling that crossed my head was, what can I do to make it better than that?
Right.
What can I do to make it platinum or multi-platinum? It wasn't about gold. It was about me just wanting to reach more people and having more people enjoy the product. And that's all I was concerned about. So when it was time to make Jerky Boys 2, they all told me, that's it. There's nothing you can do to be better than that first record. And I said, that's all I needed to hear, that they told me I couldn't be better than the first record.
Like, oh, yeah? So I'm coming back.
I put Jerky Boys 2 together, and Jerky Boys 2 comes out.
Crushed.
Not only does it shatter Jerky Boys 1, it sells almost 1 million units in 7 days.
It's crazy.
And it hits number one in Billboard magazine.
That's like Nirvana style, you know? That's nuts.
And you know what's funny you mentioned that. Now, keep in mind, when I was doing this stuff, when I hit number one in Billboard magazine, I'm not just in this cute little world over here where Johnny's running up against other comedians.
Right.
I'm up against Nirvana. I'm up against the Butthole Surfers. I'm up against
Chili Peppers.
You never want to be up against the Butthole Surfers, John.
Look at the bands that I was. Who else? Green Day. The guys that followed me up the charts. Radiohead.
God.
And they named their album Pablo Honey.
Yes. Radiohead called me at my house. I believe it was sometime 91 or 92. And I didn't know who they were. I had no idea. They said, Johnny, we got these guys. You know, they really would love it if you would work with them. And they called me up and they said, Johnny, can we use your famous Pablo Honey skit to name our debut album in America? And I said, guys, of course, man. I said, have at it, man. I said, good for you. Good luck with everything. And little did I know that band would chase me up the charts.
Yeah.
And Jerky Boys number one and number two was Radiohead.
That's awesome. That's great.
So they sent me a plaque. It hangs in my den to this day. Jerky Boys number one, Radiohead number two.
God bless.
What were your parents surprised by this when this happened to you? Were they like, oh my God, what is this all about? I mean, had you outed yourself to them as somebody who was sitting on the phone mimicking them?
You know, it's funny because my dad always, you know, dismissed me. When you hear Frank Rizzo, that's my dad. You're hearing him.
Yeah.
Right.
So that personality and everything is like, you know, if somebody would say to my father, Tony, man, geez, your son, he really took something and ran with God bless him, man. He really did. And then my father's responding, yeah, Dad, Johnny's a wacky son of a bitch. he's a nut. Johnny's a nut.
Yeah.
And so he would be very proud of you, but in a very like a dismissive kind of way.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. My dad was similar to that. Yeah, and that's how I understand.
But the terms in his vernacular are like, you know, hurry up, silly,
yeah,
fruitcake.
Yeah. Me and my friend, that's your response. Right. Me and my friends have been doing that since high school, and we giggle every time. It's nuts.
Where did these names come up? Yeah. Who's Mike the Rookie? Who's Brett Weir?
Brett Weir was a real guy.
Yeah, Brett Weir was actually my brother-in-law at one point. I always tell people the greatest thing is that Brett Weir never got on the phone.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he lives in infamy forever. Everybody's always thinking about who's Brett Weir.
You know what? That brings up a good point real quick. Has anyone in real life ever confronted you and been like, I know it was you, you know, whatever, and like kind of got in your face about it? Or is that you've always had this anonymity about yourself?
No. Everybody knows. No, very, very, very cool. No, everybody's always been very, very cool. I mean,
you didn't have Eric the piano tuner coming up trying to fight you?
Eric was actually the only lawsuit.
Really?
And I think he got like $200. He threatened. He's like, you know, he's like, hey, that's me. We didn't even really know if it was him. You know, I gave him $200 and we said, hey, all right, guy, there you go. And he signed a little waiver and that was it.
It's amazing to think that he's out there right now, like eating sushi somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, it's funny this is what you talk about with my characters when I have to think on the fly, right?
Right.
So I says, yeah, is Eric there? And he goes, this is me.
Yeah.
as soon as he said that, I swear to my right hand, the guy said, yeah, the butt. And I said to myself after I said that, I said, that was sweet.
Yeah.
You know? And there's been a couple of accidents like that, like where they're not accidents. They kind of mold together as I'm playing this little game, this little movie. I'm running this movie in my head, and the movie's about a step in front of my mouth. So when I'm creating these things that I see, they're running a little before my mouth. So when I did, even when I love that skit, when the kid says to me, he goes, can you give me the company name?
Right.
I said to the kid, how the hell am I supposed to give you the company name when I'm busy rolling around underneath the truck? And then I swear to God, it just rolled off my tongue. I said, I can give you a couple serial numbers off the gearbox. That's about it. and to this day, I look at those moments, and there's millions of them throughout the Jerky Boys project. But I look at them and I say, man, that's like magic.
Till this day, when I listen to the hot rod mover, till this day, when you say that you drove for Mayflower and Moishef, and he says, oh, yeah, you drove for Moishef, like he got you, like he's about to follow up with some questions. I always think, you're like, yeah, I don't know, a couple years ago, I don't know. And you like change the subject real quick. I'm like, I still think that he's going to like cut you for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I always love that. That's a challenge, you know?
Yeah. Every time I see a Mayflower truck now, I'm dying laughing because of you, Johnny.
I know. It's so funny when people see Mayflower and Moishe trucks, right away my phone blows up with and they send me the captions.
Johnny, tell me about the time. Like, so you get discovered by Howard Stern. What year is that? When that happens,
I believe it was, I don't know, I would say, when did Howard start radio? Wasn't it 85, 84 or something?
So was that early that you guys were being circulated around Stern? Because, like, when did the tapes fall into our hands, Clay?
Probably
like
early 90s, late 80s.
No, yeah, like, I would say, like, 91.
I was, like, 10 or 11,
That's late. That's really late, because I was already selling records and everything in that time. So, yeah, I would say, like I said, I have tracks and stuff that I was doing in the 70s and stuff, where I was doing, you know, sounds and all kinds of other crap. But it didn't start to play where I would think, you know, like I said, my family reunion was 85, and I remember everybody coming up to me.
Yeah.
Those tapes were on the streets for years.
Tell me a little bit about how Seth MacFarlane approached you and you guys built this long-lasting collaboration on Family Guy.
Yeah, he grew up listening to. He was one of those kids that grew up. He was 11 years old. He's the exact same age as my kid brother Jason.
Who's okay.
So they're 13 years young. Jason, by the way, is the original muffin ass. Okay. Yeah. He's my baby brother. He's the youngest. So he comes to me with pretty much to every show I do, which is another new thing I didn't even get a chance to tell you guys. I do these new shows now. Where I'm not a stand-up comic. That's
right.
Not what I do. The funny thing Eddie Murphy said years ago, he said, man, the greatest thing to come along, he goes, all you ever had was a red brick wall and you had some guy standing in front of it telling jokes.
Yep.
He says, and then along comes this Frank Rizzo guy and just destroys comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I do these shows, and my brother comes with me, and I try to keep him no more than 300 people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere from 200 to 300 people, and it's a VIP. People hang out. They got, like you said, people have millions of questions. And then what people love a lot is to tell their stories.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you guys know, you probably got great family stories. Like you just said, you have a five-year-old that's calling waitresses honey baby.
Right. That's the absolute truth.
Yeah, that's great stuff, man.
Oh yeah,
that's when you've done something and you know, where you've created something that is part of Americana. It's worked its way into just the way people eat. You know, it's amazing. But I get it from everywhere. I get it from NASCAR. I get it from the Major League Baseball. I get you name it, the NFL, hockey. I mean, my fan base is tremendous. It's
amazing, and it's to think that all of it just by like literally. Just goofing off and doing something you thought would never, ever turn into this, like, international, worldwide phenomenon that is legendary.
It's pop culture,
man. I mean,
it's
like Exile on Main Street.
It lives hard in pop culture.
It's crazy.
Pop culture. And that's what Howard Stern said, and I swear by it, he's right, when he said that it can't be created again because these are real people that Johnny...
Right.
Look, if you ever met my father, and the reason I know why people... around like Chicago, one of my favorite towns to visit. I been to Chicago many, many times.
God bless.
Pittsburgh, Chicago, all around the country, wherever I go. And it has nothing to do with just the United States. Wherever they speak English, in Ireland, in the UK,
yep.
My fan base in Australia is ridiculous.
Oh, man.
And even the Australians, they absolutely go nuts for this particular brand of humor because it's so... old school, new school. I don't even know how to describe it. Like when, for example, you hear my Frank Rizzo, you're literally hearing a guy that came from the 30s, and I break it down and turn it into almost like a cartoon.
Right.
So,
Yeah. So,
well, that's the great thing about you force people to use their imaginations, and they have to picture these events taking place. Like when a guy says he's going to bring all his shoes and his glasses to a doctor's appointment, you have to picture this guy gathering in his little apartment somewhere, gathering up everything he's got. And he's going to head down the street and do it. I mean, it's amazing that you force people to be creative in that way, which is great.
Johnny, who does all the illustrations for the Jerky Boys?
See what you just said? Who just said that?
I think Clay.
About forcing people.
Yeah.
To see, that is brilliant. See, because that's what I set out to do that when I started doing this as a little kid. I wanted you to see what, like I just said to you before. Remember I said I was rolling a movie in my head? And the movie runs a little faster than my mouth, which is a good thing because I can see things and I can say things as I'm seeing them. I was trying to create these scenarios. I desperately wanted you to see what I was painting.
I've never met Saul Rosenberg, but I know exactly what he looks like.
Right.
And all of them. And that's what makes it fun, too, is that now I'm playing the movie in my head now. You've given me the movie.
It's a very, very observant thing that you said, because not a lot of people realize that. And that's exactly what I was trying to make you see, the same thing that I'm seeing. And it's great to hear when people say, yeah, man, that's exactly what I was picturing.
Yeah.
And, that's part of the mystique and the magic of these characters. That's what's driven this project so hard and so long.
Now, I'd be honored if you called me Sizzle Chest after all that.
Yeah, what's up there, Sizzle Chest?
Where did that come from?
I tell that story when I do these shows, right? And people love it. You know, so I'm driving my dad, back to the city. You know, we partied up and all my life. My father, they bought a country house up, outside of New York, about 50 minutes away from New York City.
Sure.
But, everybody's got to go back to work on Sunday nights. We're going back in so we get ready for work in the city. And I'm driving my dad. My dad used to love to have a six-pack. So my dad never drove. Like, I was always the chauffeur or one of my brothers,
Yeah.
So my dad, I got my girlfriend up in the front seat with me. And this got to be like 83, 82 or something. And this is coming in some of my later skits. And I says, hey, Dad, I says, on the way, I'm driving in the car. He's having his beers in the back seat. I'm saying, I said, how's Aunt Greta doing? And that's his sister, right?
Right.
How's Aunt Greta doing? And he just, out of the side of his mouth, he goes, Johnny, son, why the would you ask me such a stupid question? He goes, how the do I know how that Sizzle Chest bastard is doing? And I looked at my girlfriend, and I was like, did you hear what he just said? And he's popping beers back there, and he's like, basically like, son, don't you ask me stupid questions like that. Meanwhile, all I asked him is how his sister was doing.
Could have said fine,
And he calls, how the hell would I know how that sister
God, that's good.
Johnny Brennan has been our guest. You can find out more about Johnny Brennan and his upcoming album. What are we going to call this one, Johnny?
I haven't nailed that down yet. And also, too, the show's the best way to do it is if you guys could steer fans to my website, thejerkyboys.com.
Yep. Thejerkyboys.com.
I appreciate that. If you could mention, too, I have all brand new t-shirts, hats, mugs, coffee mugs.
I'm looking at the website right now. You can get jerky t-shirts, mugs.
Dude, the t-shirts are hilarious.
Autographs, personal audio message. Now, have you seen this new app called Cameo that all the celebrities are using now?
Oh, you guess where they got the idea from?
Oh, okay.
There you go. You had it on your website for how long?
I've been doing this for the last 10 years.
Wow.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Sue them. Sue everybody.
It's like anything else in Hollywood. There's no originality, man. It's like, you got to use your own brain to create some funny stuff.
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Well, you're one of the most original guys out there, man. What you've done is truly, truly remarkable. It really is.
I appreciate that, guys.
Johnny Brennan's been our guest. You can find out more about Johnny Brennan's upcoming appearances if you go to thejerkyboys.com. He's got t-shirts, coffee mugs, hats, autographs, personal audio message, and, Johnny, you are a pop legend, and I thank you for doing the show. Update us, man. We'd love to have you back on when you got the record coming out.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be amazing when it finally comes out. When it hits the street, it's gonna be amazing.
Can't wait.
You guys can remember just to put in front of it so they don't forget. It's thejerkyboys.com.
You got it.
Jerkyboys.com.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you very much.
Folks, you've been listening to the special Thanksgiving week best of Hooli's Hooli. You can find archived episodes of the Hooli's Hooli if you go to hibernianradio.org, or you can search for us on iTunes and find us there under Hooli's Hooli Show. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, Mike Haggerty, Buick GMC, Volkswagen of Oaklawn, Illinois, Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney at law, and McCann's Irish Oatmeal. How good have they been to us over these years? Thank you again. If you want to make support and keep this show going, you can go to hiberniantransmedia.com and make a donation there. Until next week.